Good evening. If you would, open up your Bibles to Psalms 20, the 20th chapter of Psalms. We're going to look at two fairly short Psalms tonight, 20 and 21. To sum it briefly, Psalm 20 is a prayer. It's not only a prayer, but also proclamation. Not only prayers to God, but proclaiming what the people of God will do to God, you know, for God. And then chapter 21 is a prayer of thanksgiving for answering that prayer. And there's three things that kind of come to mind that I remember from this passage here. And there are three C's. The first C is counsel. That it's so important, the counsel we get as Christians. True counsel, when we talk with brothers and sisters, sound counsel, that it's God's word, that we don't get caught up in gossip, in hearsay, in evil motives that somebody else may have. So one of the C's is the counsel, I find is important because of this account in the Bible. Another C is to have confidence in God. That the Israelites, and especially David, had confidence in God prior to battle. That's nothing new. David having confidence in battle is nothing new. It goes all the way back to him fighting Goliath. Having the confidence in God beforehand. And then the third C is make sure God gets the credit. You know, the credit goes to God. Their prayer after the war and after the battle. It would be so easy. And I don't know if you get caught up in this. This is almost, to us, a parable. How we can learn from something else. This had nothing to do with us. David's war against the Syrians has nothing to do with our lives. But yet it has everything to do with our lives. Nothing but everything. You know, we don't live in the time where David was going to war with Syria. But yet we can see and take lessons from this account. And I see these three C's that are as applicable for us today. To take proper counsel and not get caught up in anything. To have the confidence in God. But then also make sure you credit God. And when you accomplish something, it's really easy to kind of step up a little taller, put your thumbs up under your suspenders, and, you know, get the look at me attitude. That's easy to do. But God gets the credit. These Psalms are talking about David going to war with Syria. David, the king of the Syrians, was, I hope I'm pronouncing it properly, Nahash. And he died. He was the king. David had a good rapport with the king, and he sent messengers representing him and Israel to Syria to pay their respects on behalf of David. At the announcement that this king had died, we send you our condolences. He was a good man. He was a friend of mine. I respected him. And as he gets there, the new king, his son, which was Hanun, the son, he's getting counsel from the counselors. Don't be silly. He's sending spies to spy us out, how he can take us over. There had never been any indication of this. The son gets bad counsel. And I'm reminded in Proverbs 12:26, it says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. And in the next chapter, chapter 13, verse 20, it says, he who walks with the wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So this is the communication part and the counsel part. These messengers get there and they're apprehended. They're taken captive and humiliated. This account is told in 2 Samuel 8, chapter 8 and chapter 10, and then almost identical in 1 Chronicles 19. And they're humiliated. Their beards are cut off, they're shaved, and their garment was cut up, as the Bible says, up to their buttocks. Basically, they were pantsed. And they're sent back. David gets word of this. He sends them. They were emissaries of him. I'm not going to go, but I'm sending you. I'm sending you for my messenger. You're an ambassador for me. And this is how he's treated, how those messengers are treated. David prepares for war. And we're going to find out, chapter 20 is a prayer, a song of David, not only about him, but for him. And it's not only a song, it's a proclamation of God's people for their statements toward God. In the end, David will be victorious. The Israelites will be victorious, and they will wind up killing over 22,000 of the Syrians. Anyway, starting off with chapter 20, it says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt offerings and sacrifices. I find that interesting. Israel has proven themselves. They're not going to God. How many times do people go to God when they're in a jam? First time they go to God, they haven't been interested in God at all. But now their back's against the wall, and now they want to go to God. Now they want to ask him something. This is saying, remember all the sacrifices. Remember the pattern that we have done. Verse 4, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. The purpose is God's purpose. We shouldn't ask anything, like Jesus in the garden, not ask anything that what is outside of God's will. Nothing wrong with going to God with our desires, our concerns, our prayers, but we want God's will to be done. And fulfill all your purpose. I'm throwing this in as it applies to God's word. Not ask anything outside of God's word. Can we expect to get anything if it's outside of God's word? Verse 5, we will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. He will. They were confident before, just like David going into battle against Goliath. David knew that God was going to be with him. And here Israel is getting ready to march off to battle against Syria. The Syrians were a mighty nation. They were well known in that whole region for their military power and might. Verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of our Lord, the Lord our God. Isn't that important? Not to put our trust in things of man. It is so easy to accomplish something and think, I accomplished this. Only with God's help. You know, people look at what man can do. Their idea of power, their idea of success, of might. At this time, might was in chariots of war, horses that would lead them and economic success. Some people put their power in that. But it says, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. I'm reminded, when I think of David in battle, I always think of Goliath. But in Psalm 144, verse 1, David wrote, blessed be the Lord my God, excuse me, Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. I think of David having that on his mind, going to battle, giving God the credit and whatever he accomplishes, it's God that's doing it. The 21st Psalm is kind of a thank you for our victory, an after the fact. Psalm 20 is we know you're going to be with us. We're going into battle. We give you all credit. 21 is thank you for the victory you gave us. It's that third C, giving God the credit, not them. Verse 1, the king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. I'm going to pause real quick. Some of the things I've read about this, they call this a messianic psalm. That not only is it about David, but if you think about Jesus in the future, the crown he was given, he's the leader of our kingdom. The world gave him a crown at his crucifixion. That's not his crown. But if you think of some of the parallels between this era, 1,100 years before Jesus, during David's time, there are a number of things that apply to Jesus making it a messianic psalm also. Verse 4, he asked life from you, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. The people killed Jesus, but he lives forever. David, he died, as it says, he went by the way of his fathers. You know, he asked for life. He was given life in that battle. It says forever and ever. Does that make God, you know, he didn't give him life forever and ever, but yet he did. We're still remembering David. David is as alive and well today to us Christians. Not physically, but his messages, his teachings is as alive and well today as it was during this time. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him. For you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Nothing could move David from his belief in God. I think of Matthew 16, verse 18, where Peter makes the great confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Will not. And here it says, the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. That's the same kind of confidence that we can have in the church. It's not going to be moved. Whatever man throws against the church, whatever evil is thrown against us, the church will prevail. We will win the battle. We've just got to decide which side we're going to be on. When the dust settles, we've got to make sure we're on the right side. Verse 8, your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. This is confidence for us. The bad guys are going to lose. We live in a time that I shake my head sometimes wondering, how bad is it going to get? How evil, you know, woe to those that call evil good and good evil. And you just wonder, but here we can be comforted knowing God will triumph in the end. We just got to be on his side. Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. You shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. For they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Again, I think of Jesus. People thought they were doing away. They thought, we'll kill Jesus. Little did they know. We'll persecute the church. Stop it. It just grew. And it's grown and grown, and it's still here to this day. And will be forever. Verse 12, therefore you will make them turn their back. You will make ready your arrows on your string toward their faces. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. Chapter 20 was a promise, a proclamation, and a request for victory going into battle. And mostly a proclamation that we will trust you. Chapter 21 was an acknowledgement. We were victorious. Your power, and it gives credit to God. Again, the three C's. What I gain from this account of these two chapters, seek proper counsel. Because improper counsel can sure... This war would have never happened had the son gotten proper counsel. David was sending honor to the king's father. And the people chirping in his ear gets it all skewed. Have proper counsel, to have confidence in God in our trials, in the battles we perform. And when we come through victorious, give credit to God. We always like to offer an invitation. The invitation is always there. We don't have to offer it. You already have it. If you need prayers, if you need to repent of sin, I think everybody here is a baptized member of the Lord's church, been added by Him. Whatever your need, if you'll come forward, let your needs be known while Curtis leads us in the invitation. Let's stand.